I bring grace to you and peace from God our Father through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Text for today's message is Luke chapter 5. Remembering the great kids cartoon, Bob the Builder, we will get to that in a moment, but the refrain of the song, Bob the Builder, can he build it? Yes, he can. See, look at how in touch we all are. Can he build it? Yes, we can. Let's join our hearts and heads in prayer as we come to this word, this message. Lord God, we know you build. And if you don't build, then the house is built in vain. Such an incredible thing to think about, that you, the Lord of heaven and earth, take notice of us and you build. Sometimes we wonder how you're building. Sometimes we thwart your building. Sometimes we marvel at it in retrospect, not realizing what you have been doing. But tonight, at least for this moment, we just simply confess with our hearts and lips, if you build it, it is a beautiful thing. So build us tonight, in Jesus' name, amen. Just a little bit of a lesson. So in church, sometimes the question is asked, where do the readings come from? Sometimes they come from my tiny little head as I think of themes or topics that as a pastor I see as significant for this congregation to consider. And so I develop what's called a sermon series, or with Pastor Meggers or Pastor Schultz, we conduct a sermon based on a free text, that is a text that I've chosen. Other times here at Concordia, we have and follow what's called the lectionary. The lectionary, from the Latin word lectio, lection, a reading. The readings that are chosen for us are chosen from a committee, always trust the committee, that has over the course of hundreds of years seen that certain Old Testament texts match up with certain New Testament gospel readings. And thus, in the Roman Catholic tradition, the Reformed or Presbyterian tradition, the Episcopalians, the Methodists, the Lutherans, among many others, we use this thing called the lectionary, the common communal lectionary, so that, generally speaking, not all the time, if you go from one Lutheran church to a Catholic church to a Presbyterian church, generally speaking, you will see, hear, and read the same lection. Same readings. And these readings go on a cycle. So every year the readings change with the church year. We have Advent readings and Epiphany readings and Lent and Easter and Pentecost and so on. And then over the course of 3 years we go through Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and then we start the process all over again and we throw in a little John as cayenne pepper and spice it up. And that's what the lectionary is all about. I say all of that by way of kind of information overload introduction, to invite you to look at those two pages that are facing each other, pages 4 and 5. And like one of those puzzles in the back of an airline magazine, what's the same and what's different? Can we play that game? I couldn't read well when I was a child with my ADHD. I was kind of all over the place. I could only read a couple pages at a time, but put a picture in front of me and I would finish it first. I would notice what's the same and what's different. What's the same? What's the same is that two men, one named Isaiah, the other named Peter, come into contact with the Lord. In the first reading, the Father. In the second reading, Jesus. Both of them are commissioned for ministry. Both of them realize that they are going to cooperate with God in the building up of his people, in the extension of his church. By the way, an aside, that's what we in service and ministry are to do. Build up people, cooperating with God in doing so, and extending the church. That's mission and ministry. That's the heart and soul and passion of our God. Both of them realized that there was something deficient in them. When Isaiah came into contact with the Lord, he said, "It's all over. I am doomed, for I am a sinful man." He said that because he realized the otherness of God. God is holy, I am not. And therefore, when that offset of righteousness and sinfulness come into contact, guess who loses? Answer, the sinful guy. Peter also realizes that in his conversation with Jesus, his deficiency, his sinfulness has been shown. He did not trust in God here in front of him to accomplish what God, because he is God, can accomplish. God can do anything. Peter doubted that, and as soon as he realized that doubt was active in his life, he knew he was toast. His building came crashing down. Here's the question, though, and this goes to not the similarities, but the differences. What's the difference? The difference is that Isaiah is at the start of his ministry and relationship with God. It's like meeting someone for the first time, and that someone that you're meeting is a megawatt personality, and as soon as you meet them, you just wither. And you get the "Hello, Mr. TiVo. How are you doing?" And you can't even put words together because it's so overwhelming. We can understand Isaiah being overwhelmed by the megawatt power of the Lord of heaven and earth, can we not? Yes, we can. But Peter had been hanging out with Jesus for a little while. Peter had seen what Jesus could do in small doses, for sure, but doses nonetheless. Peter heard Jesus say, "Go out and catch some fish," and even though Peter had seen what Jesus could do, nevertheless, he doubted, denied, and then watched in despair as Jesus clearly communicates, "I can build whatever I want to build. I can fill whatever nets I want to fill. I can load up a boat beyond your wildest dreams and actual experience." But like Isaiah, Peter wilts and says, "I am such a sinful man." Let me step away from the text now for a moment and ask you who, like me, are somewhere in the middle of your walk with Jesus. What is it today that as you consider this moment in your walk with Jesus, you need to wilt and acknowledge, "I have not trusted you completely in this place of my life"? You've seen some of the things that God has done. You've experienced a measure of the peace that Jesus promises over the course of your life with God, with Jesus, as a follower of the Lord Christ. But today, in the middle of your discipleship, what are the bolts that are rusting? What is the wood that is rotting? Where is the place in your soul as you walk with Jesus that you are doubting, denying, and therefore you rightly should, with Peter and myself, despair over the sinfulness of saying, "God, you can build a whole lot of things, but you can't build that. You can change a lot of things, but you can't change this area of my life. You're the healer of a great deal, but in this place in my soul, healing won't come soon. You can't touch that." MC Hammer reference from the 1980s, by the way. Can't touch that. How dare we? How dare we say that? And with Peter. Not in order to destroy us, But for the sake of this story being told and retold over the course of countless lectionaries, that we may be built up and that we may hear from the Lord, Peter, keep this in mind next time you doubt me, but get up. We got work to do. I forgive you. Now let's start catching men. Let's go find the women, the children, all of humanity that needs to know the reconciling love of God. Let's get up, Peter, and do that. Let me rebuild you in your doubt so that together we can cooperate and build the kingdom of Christ here. See, the difference between Isaiah and Luke is that Peter's in the middle of his faith. And he needs to be challenged to remember that the God that meets him in the middle is the same God who called him from the first. My brothers and sisters, it is easy, like a boat, to be going through the water of our faithful life, but over time to let the barnacles of cynicism, doubt, and bitterness begin to cloud the truth that he is God. And beside him, there is no other. And that through the Lord Jesus Christ, he comes to overturn the works of the devil, to forgive our sin, and to assure us that though with man many things are impossible, with God everything is possible. And he can build and rebuild lives. Well, I've spent enough time in Luke chapter 5. I would be remiss if I didn't take the opportunity to go, though, to Isaiah chapter 6 and ask this. Recognizing that in our congregation every weekend there are some who come for any number of reasons and find themselves not in the middle of their life with God, but amazingly and so sacredly at the beginning of their life with God. And maybe for you, you're listening to this and you've got some insight from Luke chapter 5, but the fact of the matter is that tonight is the first time that the Lord knocks at the door of your heart and asks to be invited in. That he, like a hen, a mother hen, as one image of Scripture says, he longs to gather his chicks, and you realize tonight that by faith you are one of those precious children of his. You are, like a chick to a hen, you are a child of God. And I want to remind you that any one of us here that finds ourselves in the middle of Luke chapter 5, we would gladly talk about earlier times in our life when we realized, perhaps for the first or second time only, that there is a God, there is someone more beyond who is personally inclined toward us, takes a positive look at us, and embraces us with an eternal love that cannot fade or spoil or perish, as one verse of Scripture says, that keeps us to the very last day of earthly history, so that we may be received into eternity. In the good and gracious, tearless presence of God, where he wipes away every tear from our eyes. Wherever you find yourself, whether in the midst of Luke 5 or at the beginning of Isaiah 6, that you would maybe keep that simple little kid song from that cartoon in your heart. Can God build me? Can God change me? Can God still do a new thing in me? Yes, he can. And he proves it through the Lord Jesus Christ, who in his suffering and death worked salvation for you, for me. Salvation to eternity, salvation in the here and now from our enemies, to the praise and glory of his Father.